Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Right now at 7 o'clock, an 81-year-old man shot and killed by a stray bullet as he sat on his couch to eat his first dinner of the new year. This is William Neville. Right now, multiple agencies are trying to figure out who killed him. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. This all unfolded last night in Halifax County. Another man on the other side of Carriage House Apartments in Enfield was also hit by a stray bullet. You can see the bullet holes left behind. WRAL's Heidi Kirk spoke with the family mourning their loved one tonight.
It was here at the Carriage House Apartments where William Neville was killed, leaving behind a grieving family. And while they weren't ready to go on camera today, they did tell WRAL that he will be missed greatly and was loved by many. A somber start to the new year in Enfield today. A family is left without a father, brother, and grandpa after what the Enfield Police Department calls an unusual accident.
Man was just sitting right there eating a bowl of cereal. That's it.
That is when investigators say a bullet struck William Neville.
A lot of people don't understand that when they fire these shots, that what goes up has to come down.
Neville was one of two men shot, the other recovering after a trip to the hospital. Two other neighbors are dealing with damage that can be fixed, but Neville's family won't get him back. Neville's daughter posted to Facebook to ask witnesses to come forward, saying, quote, "I ask. No, I beg of you, if you know something, say something. Put the guns down and stop the senseless killing and shooting." Chief Johnson says the investigators are currently working the case, but no suspects are in custody at this time.
Right now, at this point, we've got limited information, so we are going to need the community's help with this. I know everyone is scared, right? But together, if they will work with us, we will make a difference in this community.
Heidi Kirk, WRAL News, Halifax County.
Truly is senseless, isn't it? The Enfield Police Department is asking anyone with information about the incident to contact them.
Breaking right now in the Live Center. If you've been following the situation with David Tepper and the Carolina Panthers, the statement from the NFL came out just moments after 6, and then Tepper's statement about 5 minutes later. This coordinated effort right here to get ahead of what happened over the weekend. Let's start right now with the NFL statement. On your screen, it talks about the fine that he is up against, $300,000 for what the NFL calls an unacceptable conduct in Jacksonville during Sunday's game. All NFL personnel expected to conduct themselves at all times in ways that respect our fans and favorably reflect on their team and the NFL. Talk about Tepper's statement. That's in this next slide here. He's apologizing, saying, "I'm deeply passionate about this team and regret my behavior on Sunday. I should have let the NFL stadium security handle any issues that arose. I respect the NFL's code of conduct and accept the league's discipline for my behavior." If you missed that video, this is it. He gets frustrated during the game. He's off to the right. He throws the liquid that's in his cup right there, then slams the cup down. They're saying that's unacceptable. Acceptable behavior, and then levying that fine of $300,000. Much more coming up later on the newscast and, of course, on Fox 50 at 10 and RAL at 11 with sports and more on that video online at WRAL.com. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. Today, the three suspects charged in a Greensboro officer's murder appeared in court for the first time. Jameer Foster, Zachariah Blackwell, and John Morrison. They all faced a judge today. Foster is charged with first-degree murder. He's accused of shooting Sergeant Philip Nix at Sheets after the officer confronted the suspects for stealing beer, of all things. Today, the district attorney revealed that the three suspects each stole 5 cases of beer, then went out to the car. Nix was off duty, noticed the car was parked in a handicapped spot. The officer went over to them, and that's when investigators say Foster pulled the trigger, hitting Nix 5 times. All three suspects are due back in court in April. Governor Cooper has ordered all flags lowered to half staff in honor of Sergeant Nix. Nix was a longtime, well-respected member of the Greensboro Police Department for 23 years, serving in many leadership roles. Flags will remain lowered until sunset tomorrow.
And tonight, a Raleigh man is charged with murdering his 5-year-old son. This is Carter. He was taken to the hospital on New Year's Eve with injuries investigators say his father caused. Carter died last night. WRAL's Shelley Jackson spoke with his grandmother, grieving the loss of this little boy.
The death of 5-year-old Carter Holloway is an unimaginable loss for his family. And his family says he brought them so much joy.
The day he came home from the hospital, this is my beautiful boy.
5-year-old Carter Holloway loved superheroes. He loved being in the water. and he loved his grandma, Tiffany Holloway.
He loved me. He couldn't talk. He had words, but he didn't talk in sentences. He had ways of letting you know.
Carter had autism and was nonverbal.
Those are for him. I can't put them up.
Carter's presents still sit under the Christmas tree at Holloway's house, unopened. He was spending the holiday with his dad, but Sunday, the five-year-old was taken to the hospital.
He had a humongous brain bleed. His brain had been pushed from one side to the other and down into the spinal cord.
Holloway says Carter's dad, Amir Hines, told her he fell in the shower Sunday. Hospital staff says the child's injuries are consistent with a serious injury.
The medical truth, which was he was beaten all over. Carter had bruises from head to toe.
The five-year-old died at 8:11 p.m. on New Year's Day. Carter's 24-year-old father, Hines, now charged with murder, in court showing no reaction when the judge said Carter had died. Holloway says Hines just got out of prison in September.
He ruined my life. He took away my grandson. He took away that 5 years and 4 months.
Holloway is relying on her faith, but she is haunted by her grandson's last minutes.
I just can't imagine how my grandbaby felt at that moment, however long it took.
Amir Hines will be back here in court January 22nd. No bond was set. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Just sickening and heartbreaking. We're going to change over to weather now. We are tracking the chance for rain tomorrow evening and temperatures dipping into the 20s for parts of our area. Meteorologist Mike Mays is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the details. Mike?
Ashley, two things I'm tracking. The colder air, of course. 28 tomorrow morning will be a colder start than what we have this morning. And in the days ahead, we'll have morning lows in the 20s. Friday and Saturday, Saturday's morning low 28. Now, we're also tracking a wet weather system that could bring a little bit of light rain here tomorrow evening. Moving across the southern plains right now, this low will track along the Gulf Coast, and tomorrow should take on a different look. We'll start with sunshine in the morning. During the afternoon, it's mostly cloudy. Not going to be a big deal of rain, maybe a few hundredths of an inch, and that's about it. You can see by lunchtime tomorrow, the rain is along the Gulf Coast. There could even be some thunderstorms there. But for us, this moisture starts to move up to the north during the afternoon. Tomorrow evening at 8, 9, 10 o'clock, there could be some spotty light rain. Most of it will fall down east toward the coast. Over about 2 a.m., Morehead City, Rodanthe seeing some rain. It'll be coming to an end at that point. But there is actually a more substantial area of rain that's over the Pacific Northwest right now. I'll show you when that system arrives and how long it'll last for your weekend. It's coming up in less than 15 minutes.
Okay, Mike, thank you.
Noisy neighbors and businesses in Raleigh will soon have to pay higher fines. City Council approved changes to noise ordinances this afternoon. So right now, loud noises are restricted by decibels, but that's tough to enforce because the noise usually ends before someone with the city can get out there with a decibel reader and actually measure the sound levels. The new ordinance allows them to determine whether a noise is too loud based on what a reasonable person considers to be disruptive. Fines will also increase. First-time violations go from $100 to $250. These changes, as well as new regulations for nightlife businesses, go into effect on February the 3rd.
We now have a better idea of the timeline for the city of Raleigh to redevelop the old state DMV headquarters. Within the last few hours, City Council approved the deal to buy the property on Newbern Avenue for $20 million. The state already agreed to the sale. Most of the building has been closed since the DMV moved its headquarters to Rocky Mount 3 years ago. The six-acre site is along the route for Raleigh's first bus rapid transit line, which will bring faster, more frequent bus service starting in 2025. Over the next few months, the city will put together a project group to help come up with a vision for how to redevelop the site.
There is some new leadership now at North Carolina Court of Appeals. Only WRAL's NC Capitol team has learned this. It's a change the previous chief judge didn't want. WRAL state government reporter Will Duren has learned that Donna Stroud was removed as chief judge of the appeals court against her will. She says Republican Supreme Court Chief Justice Paul Newby ordered that change. He hasn't explained why. Stroud is also a Republican, but some powerful GOP leaders tried backing another Republican to take her seat in 2022. She will remain on the bench, just not as the chief judge. Republican Judge Chris Dillon has been tapped to replace her in that role.
Tonight at 7, some big changes coming to the Wake County Animal Center after a dog flu outbreak forced it to close for months. Hear from officials about what pet owners in our community need to know coming up. Plus, a new warning that some vehicles could catch fire while driving. What people need to know.
Two people were killed in a head-on crash along a highway in Sampson County. Sky 5 over that scene this morning along U.S. 421. This is near Plainview Highway. Michael Thomas and Devonda Moore of Dunn were both driving, were killed in this crash. Investigators say Thomas crossed that center line and hit Moore head-on. It's unclear what caused Thomas to drift into the other lane.
I hate to say it, still no luck in the search for a missing teen who vanished from the Cape Fear River last week. On Thursday, five people went into the water near Letts Landing in Lee County after hitting rough water and strong currents. All but one boater was rescued and brought to safety. Those rescued are expected to be okay. Multiple agencies joined search efforts over the weekend. Crews are focusing on an area approximately 4.5 miles away from Buckhorn Dam.
Right now, Durham leaders are working to address homelessness in the city. We've got a live look inside the city council's meeting that just got underway moments ago. You're looking there. They're looking to allocate funds for various homeless services. The city manager is asking for authorization to help provide housing services as well as funding for emergency shelters and permanent supportive housing. We're going to bring you some updates on this, anything that we learn during our late news tonight at 10 and 11.
Wake County's Animal Center is in crisis mode. Today, the center announced owners will no longer be able to surrender their dogs. Animal Services Director Jennifer Federico tells WREL the decision was made because animals are not moving out fast enough as Wake County's population grows at a large rate. The shelter reopened for adoptions last month after an outbreak of dog flu forced it to close. Staff members at the Animal Center say pet owners can play a role in reducing overcrowding, a statewide and frankly national crisis.
It'd be lovely if everyone spayed and neutered their pets so we didn't have overpopulation. There's a lot our community can do to positively impact this as we move forward.
On our late news, WREL's Aaron Thomas continues this conversation and shares how to safely rehome your pet now that the Wake County Animal Center is not an option for surrenders.
There is a new recall for nearly 80,000 Kia vehicles. Because of something very serious, they could catch fire while driving. This involves the 2011 Sorento. Kia says a fire could start in the engine compartment for, quote, many different reasons. Kia dealers will do an inspection of these SUVs and replace the engine if needed. They'll also install something called a knock sensor detection system, which will extend the Sorento's warranty coverage from 15 years or 150,000 miles. Now, those are important inspections and software upgrades because Five on Your Side has shown you what happens if a Kia owner doesn't get them. Amber Young, for instance, her 2015 Kia Optima started acting up last year, and a mechanic told her she needed a new engine. Young later learned her car was part of a massive recall and she hadn't gotten the knock sensor detection system upgraded to extend her warranty coverage and ended up stuck with a $6,000 bill to replace her engine.
Jeez. COVID, RSV, and the flu continue to send hundreds across the triangle to the hospital. In the past 2 weeks, Duke Health saw a 112% spike in flu cases across its hospital system. COVID cases also rose by 8% with 41 patients. Over at UNC, the biggest increase in the past week was actually in COVID cases, a 73% increase there with 38 patients. RSV also went up by 50%. Flu actually saw a slight decrease, 3% decrease. Meanwhile, WakeMed reported 31 people hospitalized with COVID since last Thursday, 22 hospitalized with the flu. One area doctor says hospitals will likely continue to see high case numbers for the next few weeks.
Unfortunately, it's not yet hit its peak, I don't think, at least here in the Triangle. And so, you know, a little bit of a call, I guess, to people to at least be mindful of their symptoms and mindful of people around them. There's a high rate of illness right now.
Dr. Wolf says parents should keep kids home from school if they notice any signs of cold or flu symptoms. And a reminder, new restrictions started today at hospitals in the Triangle area in an effort to slow the spread of flu, COVID, and RSV. Now, visitors in all Wake Med Hospital patient care areas, including waiting rooms, must be at least 12 years old. Similar restrictions are in place for UNC Hospitals Chapel Hill, Hillsborough, and youth behavioral health campuses.
What an amazing story here tonight. We are learning that the world's first partial heart transplant performed on a baby right here in the Triangle was successful. WRL's Gerald Owens is here with the good news out of a new Duke study.
This really is fabulous news. We first brought you this story back in 2022. Owen Monroe was born at Duke Hospital with a rare heart defect. The two main heart arteries were fused together, and he had a significant heart valve leak. Doctors didn't think he would live long enough to get the transplant he needed. So a team at Duke performed what is believed to be the world's first partial heart transplant when he was just 18 days old. It used healthy arteries and valves from a heart with muscle tissue too weak for a full transplant. And now we've learned that it was a success. A study published this morning in the Journal of the American Medical Association says the transplant produced two well-functioning valves and arteries. And more importantly, the new blood vessels and valves have developed and grown along with Owen, which researchers say could prevent him from needing additional surgeries in the future. 12 other children have since received partial heart transplants.
It's just
Gerald,
incredible.
Thank you. How about the little smile on Owen?
So sweet. Absolutely
Oh my gosh.
Just amazing to see the medical breakthroughs happening in our own backyard.
Meteorologist Mike Mays. Yeah, it looks like the weather in our backyard isn't too bad either.
No, a little on the chilly side, but you would expect that this time of year. We'll call it seasonably cold. 42 right now out at RDU, and here's a live look at Fenton. Still have the Christmas tree up. Folks are enjoying the ice skating out there. Appropriate with the cold weather. We have clear skies, and by daybreak, we expect our low temperature here in the Triangle at 28. It's 34 at Roxborough, 33 at South Hillier, almost at freezing at South Hill, 36 Southern Pines, 36 in Clinton, mid-30s for Goldsboro and Rocky Mount. So if you're going to be out and about this evening, dress appropriately. Temperatures run in the 30s through 11 o'clock, and then after midnight, here at least here in the Triangle, will fall into the 20s. So the system we saw yesterday that brought all that cloud cover is well out in the Atlantic. High pressure's building in. We'll have light wind, clear skies, dry air tonight, so we'll dip down into the 20s. And it looks like tomorrow night we'll be dealing with this system. It'll bring cloud cover during the afternoon, a chance for some light rain. I highlighted that at the top of the newscast, maybe a hundredth of an inch, 200ths of an inch, and that's about it. But this one up here, more substantial rain coming for Saturday. It's not going to be a weekend washout, but it could be a Saturday washout. And then there's yet another system just north and west of there that will bring rain in on Tuesday, the way I see it right now. So for tomorrow, here comes that system, bringing cloud cover for the day on Wednesday, perhaps a little bit of light rain, but I think most of it will end up falling at the coast, maybe a little light snow in the mountains. Boom, that moves on by. On Thursday, we'll see high pressure build in. Thursday and Friday both look pretty good. But there's that next system. This is the one that arrives on Saturday. And the timing is going to play a key role on what we see here Saturday morning. Now, the forecast low for Saturday is 28. That should probably occur around midnight, and then temperatures will rise through the night. And it'll be a race to see how quickly this moisture can get in before temperatures begin to rise above freezing. If that comes in early enough and it's still at freezing, there could be some light freezing rain in our northern counties. This model is not showing that, but it is showing that wintry mix off to the west in the mountains. And what we're likely to see here for the day Saturday is just a chilly rain. In fact, there could be a wide temperature spread from the 40s in Roxborough to the 50s here in the Triangle to the 60s in Clinton. Just really depends on where you live and how cold it will be, but we all expect rain, and then it'll move out Saturday evening. Sunday looks pretty good, and then that next wet weather system comes in on Tuesday. Right now, the American model showing about 4/10 of an inch of rain. The European model about 2/10 of an inch of rain. So right now, not looking at a super soaking. We'll see how it all evolves as we get closer. Mid to upper 20s for the lows tonight. 28 in Fayetteville, 28 Southern Pines, 27 in South Hill. Becoming mostly cloudy tomorrow afternoon with highs in the low to mid 50s. So keep the jackets handy. Over the next 7 days, it's cold. 40% chance of light rain tomorrow night. Thursday and Friday are dry. There's your wet weather on Saturday. The high of 50 with an 80% chance of rain. Sunday and Monday are dry. And the next soaking on Tuesday could be a mild soaking, maybe the high around 60.
Yeah,
that'll feel comfortable.
Okay, Mike, thank you.
Still ahead, a beloved Chapel Hill Bar and Grill will soon close. The reason behind this legacy restaurant shutting down and your last chance to visit coming up.
Starting tomorrow, a section of a Raleigh Greenway Trail will close for more than 2 weeks.
So this closure is along the Neuse River Trail. It's part of the Crabtree Interceptor Project, which will repair a sewer pipe in that area. The section of the trail closes tomorrow through January 19th. A detour is not available for this closure. All of the North Carolina aquariums will close for a short span at the end of the month to get staff and animals ready for what will be a busy new year.
Fort Fisher, Pine Knoll Shores, and Roanoke Islands will close to visitors from January 29th through February 2nd. This is so the team can work on site to tackle projects and enhance animal care as well. Visitors will be back in starting February 3rd at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. A Chapel Hill staple is closing its doors for good after more than four decades in business.
40 years later, and Linda's Bar and Grill is a very popular spot to watch games there on Franklin Street, staying open until 2 a.m. several nights a week. After 47 years, though, Friday will be its last day. They said that their business struggles came as a direct result of the pandemic, which is just terrible. So many businesses shuttered because of that time. Raleigh police officers were on their A game responding to a trespassing call.
A neighbor caught it all on camera. Here's a good news story. Officers jumped right into a pickup basketball game. Okay, bear with me throughout these puns. It seems like the case was a slam dunk.
Nice.
The officers got to have a ball on New Year's Eve.
Not too bad. All right. Pretty good. You know, let them have a little bit of fun out there.
Yeah.
Mix it
I'm
up.
Glad that this was caught on camera. This is one of the good things caught on camera,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news.
We got our next newscast at 10 o'clock. That's on Fox 50. We'll see you back here on WRAL at 11. Till then, have a great night.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.